Thank you for joining us today, Florian.
It's going to be an exciting ride.
I've done that right before in 2018, so it has become a tradition. Shout out to Jan Taschenberger. But of course, with you on board, it's a special ride, and we would like to ask you a few questions today. And my better half is on my side as well, Daniel. I think you are well aware of the tradition that we usually start our podcast with the icebreaker question. And for you, we have actually two today. And we always look into, okay, why is this person here? And why is this person working in that job? What are private influences and so on? And
so real easy questions, right?
Exactly. To break the ice. And that's why we have two today. We found two things that interested us. The first one is actually something that we have in common. We spent some time in the US. You did in Landrum, South Carolina in the 90s for 9 months. You stay with John and Cam Lawrence, if I'm informed correctly. And John Lawrence, who unfortunately passed away, was the chief editor and general manager of a news magazine called Newsleader of Landrum. You wrote some pieces there as well. And what we wanted to know is, how did it influence your career afterwards?
Wow. That's really good research, I have to say, because I'm not aware that can be found on the internet, but yeah, but well, who knows?
Yeah, it's true. After my high school time, for me, I had already the idea to become a journalist. I had done a lot of school magazines during high school, was awarded like the various best school magazines. I had also a lot of fun to build up the newspaper, the editorial team, the budget. Luckily, I got to know the daughter of the Lawrences, and I could live in their family and work at this newspaper in South Carolina. What did I take away from it? For sure, completely different perspective. So I did not know before how much German thinking I was. I think that there are different ways to look at things, but there are different ways to motivate people and to use that also in communications.
Yeah, I actually reached out to the city of Landrum because the newspaper doesn't exist anymore. Their archive didn't feature any Florian Dottel stories anymore.
I got some.
good. Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned it, thinking in, you know, in a German way. That became obvious to me being abroad as well. In that regards, I come to icebreaker question number two, and this is the Italian way of thinking, because you spent quite some time in Italy, and that must have had a huge influence on you as well.
Also an exciting time in my life. So I had been working with E.ON. E.ON bought the Endesa Italia generation company and integrated it with the existing five companies. I had the chance to go to Italy as an expat and build up the communications team there. Like on the business side, was really a startup experience, building something from scratch, including the team, the brand, which was completely unknown in Italy, but also building up contacts to journalists and other stakeholders. So it's rare that you have in your professional life, you have chances like this to create something from scratch. But it's also, in a way, it's also challenging. Yeah, you can really see what you have done, and if you what's there, you have really achieved. That's very motivating, but also challenging. Second thing, of course, again, a different cultural perspective. I spent the first months in Milan, though it's pretty northern Italian culture, very much business driven, but most of the time, more than 4 years in Rome. The personal relationship between people is very key for anything. Without personal relationship, you cannot achieve it. You have to invest in the relationship, and not always you cannot come directly to the point. So I got to know my wife in Rome, living in Düsseldorf for 13 years. So we still talk about how direct Germans can be. And on the other side, sometimes it takes long iterations actually to get to the point and to really conclude what you wanted to do. Being flexible in the situation, but also acknowledge that every person is different and there may be there are different ways to connect. Yeah. That's when I think something I took away from that.
And you did it together with Klaus Schäfer as well, right?
That's true. Klaus Schäfer was also the founding CEO of E.ON Italia, SPA. Yes, and guided the business, I think, for the first 3 years or so. Yeah.
Before he came back.
Yeah. Before he came back to Burgas and then later E.ON again.
Good deal. Well, thank you very much for sharing this with us.
Yeah. No, indeed. So I feel like we already got to know a lot of things about you now, and I would now really consider the ice broken or smashed into pieces. And also kudos to our great research team.
Very impressive.
So maybe for those who don't know you yet at Uniper, maybe there are still a few words of introduction you would like to say about yourself.
To wrap it up, I was born in Bavaria. I studied journalism, history, and politics. Before that, I spent almost a year in the US and always wanted to become a journalist. I did worked at several newspapers, and then I had the chance to work on the other side, and as we say, in public relations, back then at Bertelsmann in Gütersloh, and liked it very much. So the possibility in journalism, you're always driven like by the deadline, by the publication date. And after publication, it takes like 10 minutes of fame and then it's the next job. But you hardly have like the possibility to build something up on a longer term. So I enjoyed that very much in public relations. Did my first job there and at Bertelsmann, stayed there for about 2 years. And then had the chance to join E.ON, where I stayed 15 years. And the last 6 years, I was in a company called Ista in Essen, which is kind of on the crossroads between energy, housing, and data, digital. I think it was very good to work again in a smaller company, but also in a data-driven environment. It gives you new impulses and also energy when you come back then to the real energy business, as I like to say. So today I live with my wife and 3 kids in the north of Düsseldorf. Yeah, and I joined Uniper in November last year. So I'm concluding my 5th month now in a few days.
Knowing the E.ON world, following what Uniper went through, of course, that was an interesting part as well. You decided to come anyways, because we had quite a moved journey from when we started. What were the reasons for you to say, hey, Uniper, that's a good idea?
Well, not I think. I'm convinced, and it's really absolutely confirmed by the last months for me, that Uniper is a super exciting company. It's highly relevant for our energy system. It has multiple businesses that are really interesting. Also, I think it has really, really great people. So I think we have a special culture, which is highly professional, but also quite friendly. So that's fun. Regarding role I have, the adding stakeholder management, including, of course, our employees, the media, digital media, but of course, very important, also all our political and regulatory stakeholders. I would say Uniper is the most interesting company to that respect in Germany at the moment, because you have the special situation that we also have the Republic of Germany as a stakeholder with 99.12%. And so this makes it really special also to work on the political environment.
Yeah. So to summarize, you didn't regret your decision to join
Uniper? Oh, no. Absolutely no. I don't. I hope I didn't give you that impression.
No. Not at all.
And I mean, we are riding here today in the Uniper Bahn, and it's one of the things that we do in order to promote Uniper and our business, our story. What do you think is the current perception of Uniper in the public eye?
First of all, I find that in the energy world, if you want, in the energy bubble, Uniper is highly known and highly respected. So, for example, when I reach out to ministries in Berlin, or we are a part of many associations, when we act there, everybody else knows Uniper, and we are really highly respected as a key player in the energy market
And this is also true for the key markets we are active in. Yeah, and they're very known for sure also with our customers and our potential customers.
Before we come to the next question, and I do have a couple of more and you as well, we need to change the Uniper train. So my next question will be, Florian, you are the highest stakeholder manager at Uniper. And how important is this role and how important is it to tell the Uniper story?
First of all, I'd say that the highest representative of the company is, of course, our CEO and the other board members. And what we do is a supporting role. It's our focus really to work on stakeholder management. On the other side, of course, we have a certain complexity in the businesses. So we have different business lines. Some changes can have different effects in the business. So to bring that together, we need to speak with one voice. Otherwise, we cannot be heard. Yeah. So to achieve that, that's the work on the internal side, but also on the external side to be kind of a bridge to the external stakeholders. And to bring that together.
When you're dealing with stakeholders on a regular basis, what do stakeholders sometimes get wrong about Uniper?
I try to give them an idea about the whole importance of the role of Uniper in the energy systems.
We are the biggest gas storage provider. We import a quarter of gas to Germany. We run a huge chunk of the flexible power generation also in other countries. We are number one hydro player in Germany, in Sweden, and so on. Uniper provides security of supply. Then if you come to the gas side, also we are one of the few companies that really play on international level.
Especially now with a lot of new joiners at Uniper, they always come into Uniper and say, hey, we thought that Uniper is very conservative, which sometimes it is, but really, really business-like. And then they say, but it's actually a really cool company. And I always find that amazing because... I've been with the company for quite some time. I always have that feeling, but it's this outside perception sometimes, which is not the case in reality. So I think that was really obvious over the last half year with a lot of new joiners that came in. It's like, hey, this is really a cool place to be. So
what would you say are like the main topics for the remainder of this year?
Build up a common understanding of what will be the right direction for Uniper. We have the power plant strategy. We have other new build projects, of course. It's important to support all projects that they can be built as fast as possible. Yeah? And we are in a situation that we can, but we also need to build lots of new projects. So we need to do our job there.
A few things you just described are not really in our hands. You know, there are a few things we have in our hands, though. So if you would... take one thing out of it. And for our employees, for example, what will be a call to action for them when it comes to, hey, this is something we can do for Uniper?
Very brief. We collaborate well to get things done. We have good financial results because we need that, either to invest, but also as our credibility as a company that's approaching privatization process. Mm-hmm. And second, for the new build things, we need to be successful, so we have to. We can only spend once the money, and we should spend it good and really get it done.
Sounds good. What is it for you? Your call to action for this year?
Yeah, I think it's along those lines. Really, you know, we have a huge task at hand, but you can also divide this into smaller tasks to thus contribute to the greater picture. I think that's really it.
Yeah, good deal.
How about you?
It's, you know, doing a podcast with somebody that you wouldn't necessarily work with in real life, but, you know, work just putting it together.
And, all right. all right. Okay.
For the greater good.
You have fun together.
Do all drugs aside. So of course, within communication or within employee communication, I think we have a huge task, for us as well, which is informing our employees, and they are stakeholders, of course, to the outside world as well, if it's friends, family, and so on. So I think we have a lot of responsibility in that regards as well. And, you know, it's the job that we really enjoy doing. And of course, if we can do interviews in a Uniperbahn, it's even better to do it in that way, or football stadiums, or whatever the job might take us. So
you're very creative, and what you said is, I couldn't agree more, that our employees know the story and feel well informed about the things we do. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, there are not many companies who have so many new joiners like Uniper has in the last 12 or 18 months. But it's really super important that we all tell the story. We all multipliers, and that's, we shouldn't underestimate that. So good job, guys.
Thank you. You talked about new joiners as well, and that they found Uniper surprisingly, attractive. And we are attractive visually now as well. Maybe can you share a little bit of your thoughts on the new corporate design, or maybe even our new language guide, where we have some changes as well?
I would maybe call it a refresh of the corporate design. The world of design and colors has moved on. We are more colorful, which also represents the diversity and agility of Uniper, and the more a modern culture of it, which we absolutely have and we are proud to have. And we transport that to the inside and also to the outside. And of course, it was more, we made it more visible, our motto, the beating heart of energy. Corporate language guide, we also have a modernization element, which I think just reflecting daily use, that we in German we have the see and the do. This should be actually a common practice internally when we talk to each other. Everybody's of course, it's an individual choice, but we also start to use the informal do when talking to our employees. We are one team, and that's reflected.
Yeah, absolutely.
I fully agree. I mean, this is really sort of reflecting what we've been doing for quite some years at times, actually. So good to see that we have it. And as you just mentioned, new and fresh colors reflecting the maturity that we are in now, sort of after almost 10 years known now as a company. And it's also quite well reflected in this.
So shout out at this point to the brand team for doing a good job.
Absolutely. Great job.
Yes.
You know, we are currently launching the Get to Know format internally. Will be launched externally as well. And we have 13 episodes in season one. And all of the 13 episodes had different new colors and backgrounds. So the outside world
will have that much colors?
Yes, yes, yes. We have even more. Enough for season two as well. We are almost back. So Uniper, we adapted to fast changes anyway. So whatever might come, might come.
Absolutely.
Good deal.
We've learned quite a bit. I think we've got a very good picture now on Uniper, what lies ahead of us for this year. So I think that there was really comprehensive talk. All right, so then the only thing that's left to say for me is thanks a lot for tuning in again, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.